Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10, beginning at the 35th verse. Praise and glory to God. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the Gospel of Christ.
He speaks.
Do pray for me, yes.
He's not feeling too well, so let's pray. Oh God, we want to ask that you'd come now by your Holy Spirit. Fill Fraser afresh. We come against any migraine in the name of Jesus and command it to be gone. And speak the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ to you, Fraser. Come, Lord. And Lord, in our strength, your power is made perfect. Your strength. No, in our weakness. Your strength is made perfect. So I was swapping it all around. Lord, he knows what we mean. So in Fraser's weakness, Lord, speak today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, friends, good morning. I trust you're all well. For those of you who are new today and you're wondering, what is that shirt? Who's wearing the shirt? My name's Fraser. I'm the pastor here. It's a joy to gather in the name of Christ. We've come today to grow to be more like him. So, I've got a question for you all. Right, so are you ready? Show hands or no show hands. How many people here are on Facebook? Okay, hands down. How many people are on Instagram? Less. How many on Snapchat? Cool. You're really down with a herd if you're on Snapchat. How many people are on Twitter? Even less. Okay, fantastic. Well, look, I've got a questionnaire for you. Are you ready? Because we're talking about leadership, but we're also talking about communication today. So here's some names for you. I want you to put those in order as to who you think has the most Twitter followers. I'm just going to give you a clue. That's not the order. Okay? So have a little look. See if you can tell me who you think is. So just talk amongst yourselves. Just work it out quickly. You've got 15 seconds. Okay, order, order, order. Okay, how many people think Justin Bieber? Okay, well, you're wrong. uh, These are the amount of people that are following these people. As you can see, there's quite a disparity between the top and the bottom. Interestingly, Justin Bieber has not only got 97 million followers, he's following 305,000 people. I don't know how you can do that. Barack Obama is following, get this, 630,000 people. You wonder where he gets the time to do anything else. Now, I know, as you can tell, because I'm so down with the hood, that I know almost nothing about Twitter. I definitely know nothing about Instagram or Snapchat, but I am on Facebook. But the one thing I have realized is if I remain in this place, I will lose a chance for mission. Because social media is a mission field. Now, most of us will say, oh, but have you seen what's on it? It's vastly ungodly and very negative. Well, who's inputting into it? What opportunity do you and I have an opportunity to make a positive difference in the stratosphere of social media? We are not in a position to criticize it if we have chosen to remove ourselves from it. You have an opportunity, each one of us, to make a difference for Jesus in his kingdom with social media. I'm going to come back to that in a bit because I think it's got something to do with leadership. So today we're starting a series called Living to Lead, Making a Difference in the World. We are called as followers of Jesus Christ not only to follow but also to lead. No matter if you're 12 years old or 112, you are called to lead. Mark 10, can you just have a little look at that with me? Open up your device, as it were. I've got a rather old-fashioned device here. Do you know the church complained vastly back in the 16th century, 15th century, at the invention of the printing press? They said that this thing was a terrible thing, getting the word of God out to people. And now the church is complaining about social media. I find that rather interesting. But here we go. Mark 10, verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Jesus leading the way then takes them into the story about what it means to be a server and a leader. Justin Bieber has 90 odd million followers. Jesus has 2.2 billion followers in the world today. Isn't that extraordinary? 35% of the world's population follow Jesus. He's the greatest leader that ever lived. He's the most influential person who has ever lived. He's the greatest trainer of people who has ever lived. Anyone who comes under the tutelage of Jesus is on a track of leadership. You and I are leaders in the world. Leaders are people who go ahead. And if you think, oh, no, you got it wrong, Fraser. I'm not a leader, I'm a servant. Well, we're going to be looking at that dynamic today. But leadership, in this context, I want to take the words of John Maxwell, if I may. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. It's the ability to influence others. Each one of us in this room influences our family, either positively or negatively, God bless you. You have a chance to influence your workplace. how you react with your people that you work with your bosses, with people that work for you, how you act will influence others. You are in a position of leadership. You're in leadership in your community. Whatever you do, whatever you say, at school, you have an opportunity to lead. How you behave in class influences others. You are in a position of influence, therefore, you are in a position of leadership. You either choose to pay attention or you choose not to pay attention. You will lead others in that. Leadership is about influence. Jesus' model of leadership is effective through our entire life, and it's appropriate wherever we go and whatever we do. And this model of leadership is not only life-changing, but world-changing. It's revolutionary. Now, some of you will have come to Miles's talks on leadership in the morning. I've taken a little bit of his material. I've adapted some of it and also magnified some of it, because actually, many people didn't come to the Monday because they were working. And actually, we want to invest in you because you're leading wherever you are. So choose now to log in and not log out. Will you log in with me? Teenagers, will you log in with me? Will you choose to hook in? Great, good on you. Anyone 80 years old here? Oh. If you're 80, will you log in with me today? Yeah? Good on you. Well done. Fantastic. So friends, I want to look at today. Jesus is our model for servant leadership. In the King James Version of the Bible, if you flick through it, you will find the word leader only 6 times. You will find the word servant over 900 times. Jesus is teaching us in this gospel passage that the way to lead is the way of service. If you could choose one word for leadership that Jesus demonstrates to us, the word is love. We love, and therefore in that we lead. So what can we learn about Jesus, the model leader, a model of leadership for you and I to live and enact? What are the things that we need to learn and also unlearn from the world? Remember that the world's model of leadership is not Jesus' model of leadership. So the first lesson is this. Jesus' model of leadership is different, significantly different. He says this to the disciples, "Not so with you. Don't do what you see in the world. Not so with you. We live significantly differently, a completely different way of looking at the world." So what do we learn about leadership? First of all, Jesus' leaders are not self-promoting. This is not about having an important position. James and John wanted an important position. "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you to do for us." Okay, well, that's alarm bells already ringing. Oh, yes, what's that? "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left." Jesus is saying it's not about position. Don't look for position. I learned that fairly early on as a teenager at school. Don't go promoting yourself. Don't go looking for position. It will never work. It will always backfire. Self-promotion is not the way. The world elevates position. Jesus says, don't go after position. In Luke 14, Jesus uses this story, this sort of analogy. He said, if you're invited to a wedding, don't go and choose the most important seat. Because what if someone more important comes to the wedding and then you've got to be moved down a seat or two. Rather, take the lowest seat and be invited up. It's not about self-promotion. The Gentiles go after this. They look for success. You see, on a scale of leadership, there's either leading from position or there's leading from persuasion. Leading from position or leading from persuasion. When you lead entirely from position, you get people like Saddam Hussein and Assad. What they say is this: you do as I tell you, don't question, I'm not going to give you any answers, and if you don't do as I tell you, all hell will break loose. That's not the way to lead people. When you lead people from a place of position, you will risk losing respect and breeding fear and rising rebellion. That's never the way to lead people. Jesus is on the other end of the scale, not position, but persuasion. He had no position at all. Society didn't recognize him, except maybe at one time when they said, "Oh, hail the king, he's coming in." But then 5 minutes later, they were crucifying him. He had no position, but man, he knew how to persuade. He persuaded people with the truth. Other great leaders who led from the position of persuasion. Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was just a humble pastor, church pastor. He led a movement by persuasion. Gandhi had no position of authority, and yet he led a nation to be transformed. Nelson Mandela. But you'll say, but hold on, he became the president, the prime minister, or whatever it is, of South Africa. Well, actually, when he started his movement, he started it from a prison cell. He had no position. He had persuasion. People followed him. So Jesus says, don't use the position end of the scale. Use the persuasion end when we lead. Now, sometimes you might have to use your position in order to enact something, maybe for a visionary purpose, or maybe from a disciplinary purpose, or maybe another purpose that you need to do. Sometimes, as leaders, you will need to do that. But actually, it's the last option. Actually, it's working with people and loving people is the way of Christ's leadership. Jesus' leaders are not self-promoting. They're also not self-seeking. It's not about fame. It's not about, do you know, I'm not leading a church in order to become a bishop. I really am not. I'm leading a church out of obedience because I think the Lord wanted me to do it, but I was kicking and screaming most of the way. And Sarah might testify to you every now and then, I do still do a bit of kicking and screaming. We're not after our own greatness. James and John, again, let us sit at your right and your left hand in glory. The word glory there is doxo. And the word doxo can be translated not only as glory, but also as fame. In other words, they're saying, Lord, let's be famous. Can we sit by you so everybody gets a look at us as well? Do you know that rises so swiftly within our hearts, doesn't it? Well, maybe not for you, but maybe for some of us. But you see, actually, what happens as a result of that, the 10 came to Jesus, and they said, they were indignant with James and John. You see, what happens when people start self-seeking is that envy and bitter rivalry starts to occur. Backbiting starts to occur. It's not about us. Remember about that worship series? It's not for us. It's not about us. Leadership is not about us. It's about others. You see, when we're caught up in the rat race of the world, of trying to lead the way that the world leads, we find that we'll never win. Tomlin, the great actress, she said, there's the problem with the rat races. Even if you win, you're still a rat. And that's so true. And what does Jesus say over and over again? Not so with you. Could you say that with me? Not so with you. It's not about self-seeking. Jesus' leadership. Jesus' leaders are not self-promoting, they're not self-seeking, and finally, they're not self-serving. It's not about being powerful. Read this with me. You know those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Have you ever been in a place where you've had this in the workplace? It doesn't sit right, does it? Doesn't feel right. This is the way of the world. People making sure they lead in order that they get personal benefit. This is all about power, exercising authority over people, where people are your servants. Will you bash them over the head? President Eisenhower. Good leadership is not about hitting people over the head. That's assault, not leadership. Jesus says again and again, we've got to do something different. You may be in a large organization. You may feel like a cockroach on the floor of the conglomerate. You might feel like a junior in a large company. The way of the kingdom is to serve, not to look to self. Promote, not to look to yourself. And this applies to every area of life. Philippians 2, each of you should look not only to your own needs, but to the needs of others. It's about raising others up. That's the most beautiful expression of leadership. Not so with you. Jesus' model of leadership is not any different, it's also revolutionary. Read this with me. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Now, let's just hold on a second there. Jesus, according to the book of Colossians, Jesus was the one through whom all the things that have been created, they were created through him. That God sustains the world by his powerful word. That Jesus is the redeemer of humanity. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, rightly so. Before he's done anything, he's in charge. But he turned it all upside down. The kingdom's an upside down kingdom. It's not about me, it's about you. Jesus taking the very nature of a servant. What is the top position? It's the bottom. The best place is the least place. Everything battles against us. I'm constantly surprised and overjoyed at the levels of servanthood that there is in this church. The amount of people that are happy to pick up a vacuum cleaner, move some chairs. It's about leading by serving, leading by example. We create a church by how we behave. The kind of people we are the kind of people we breed and welcome. Let's become an increasingly service-oriented church. I want to thank you guys for serving on Alpha. We're just coming to the end of it. You know, quiet service, just amazing. There's an opportunity to serve in the marriage course. The op shop, There was someone who volunteered for the first time on Saturday, came in and did 10 to 3. Thank you, that person, for doing that. The first time, and they enjoyed it immensely. All of you in different ways serve. If you haven't found a place to serve, you haven't found your place. Find your place to serve. Maybe the great mantra that we could be is, look, I don't mind what I do. I want to do something that's useful that will extend the mission and ministry of the church. And if that means it's me picking up a service sheet or welcoming people, I'll do it. I'll do something to extend the work of the kingdom. Two quick stories. Miles was sharing a story about when they were about to put, NASA were about to send the Apollo mission up. The president was going through and seeing a man sweeping the hallway. And the president came to him and said, what are you doing? And he said, Mr. President, I'm putting a man on the moon. And that great Christopher Wren was building St. Paul's Cathedral. And he went up to a carpenter and said to him, oh, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm shaping this door, and this is absolutely brilliant. Then he went to a stonemason, said, what are you doing? And the stonemason said, Mr. Wren, I'm building a cathedral. A bigger view of that which we're doing. The world is about how many people can serve me. The kingdom is about whom I serve. It's not about me. It's taking our eyes off ourselves and choosing to focus on others. Jesus showed us what that meant. He showed us by, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do, guys. At the end of the meal, he took off his outer garments. He went around and he washed his disciples' feet. And they were going, whoa, stop it. This is not right. You're the head. Why are you washing my feet? Now, just for you to understand, there were some really lowly slaves. You had the people who served food, and that was quite nice, but even though you're a slave. Then there was the second to lowest slave was the one who got to undo the sandals on people's feet. But even washing the people's feet was beneath the sandal undoer. The lowest slave in the house washed the guests' feet. Jesus took the lowest place and considered it a joy. He said, and then Peter said, well, what are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this. He says, I'm doing this. If you don't do this, you won't understand. You can't have any part of me. To be part of Jesus is to learn to serve in the lowest places. To lead means to learn to serve in the lowest places. To see a dirty loo and put the brush down it and clean it. The lowest places, the places of joy, the serving in the invisible places. The place where you know that the only person who sees you is Jesus. What could another equivalent be for us today? I think an equivalent could be for us car parking duty. How many people have struggled to park their car in the car park at some point in the last year? Put your hands up. Five people. I know you all have. And by the way, there's someone parked at the moment who needs to move their car. JPZ94967 or something like that, isn't that right? It's already done. Fantastic. Well done. But could you imagine this? Imagine this, because we're out to serve. Imagine if you said, I'm going to serve on car park. I'm going to get here at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to stand with an umbrella when it's raining and with an umbrella when it's sunshining. And as people come in the driveway, I'm going to greet them like Jesus greets them and say, welcome. It's great to see you. God bless you. Would you like a glass of water? I think you do, don't you? You're about to die over there. Here. There you go. Servant leadership. But then I've just lost it because I just pointed at myself. Don't! Oh, give me that glass back. But actually, do you know, and there will be a point, and there is a point coming, where actually we need an overflow car park. So we need people to say, you can park down here. Greg's just looking at the moment where we might be able to park overflow car parking. Well, why is that important? Because the individual is important to Jesus. It's important to serve in the place where nobody else wants to serve. How about another area? Maybe welcoming. Welcoming people. Guiding people to the best seats. Guiding them in, making them feel really welcome. Recognizing them again the next day. The next week they come in. Trying to remember their name, which I never will, but trying to remember their name. Being a host. Because we're hosting people. Vacuuming the floor, stacking the chairs. You know, I long for our children and our young people and our elderly, everybody to be serving alongside one another. Looking at how we can build the church together. And then you say to someone, I'm a leader in the church. Well, what do you do? Well, I serve on the car park. What? Doesn't look very good on your CV, does it? It doesn't. But this is what that next slide was supposed to say. Jesus is not interested with success. He's interested in service. That's what he looks at. He looks at our heart. The Son of Man came not to serve, be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Now, some people might say, well, Fraser, you keep talking about numbers. And you keep talking about church growth. Jesus died for the many. You see, but what about the one? The many is made up of ones. We love the ones to the many. See, I think Jesus' vision is that every church in this land, not just this one, every church in this land is full to overflowing multiple times on a Sunday. And if we can do that by leading and by serving, we've got a model that others can follow. We can give away people. We can plant churches. We can see the growth of the kingdom by service. Our vision is to change this part of Auckland, and then this city, and then this nation. We start with this church, and then we move on. People count in the Bible. In the Bible, you see all those numbers and, you know, lists. Why do they count people? Why are those names important? Because those names count to God. We count people because people count. Do you see? It's not just about us. It's about the other. Now I'm going to come back to social media, if I may. I have 64 Twitter followers. Okay, I've got a few more Facebook followers. How about this? If everyone in the church determined to make a positive impact in social media, if you had 64 followers, and I've counted up the average number of people that come to both services, if you said something like this, hey, I'm coming to church today, going to St. Margaret's Hillsborough, we're going to be learning about leadership or whatever it is, or about spiritual macrame, whatever it is, we're going to be learning about this, really looking forward to it, look forward to seeing you there. Hope you can come. If each one of us do that, and we've got only 64 followers, each week we will have invited 13,500 people to church. Can you imagine the effect? Because you know numbers, the rule of numbers is that you're going to hit somebody at some point. Somebody will go, hey, I think I'll go. What an extraordinary opportunity to reach a nation and nations for Christ using social media as this as a means of mission. How about this? We post something maybe on our Facebook page. Instead of just liking it, why don't you share it to your page? Other people get to see what's going on in the life of the church. Choosing to make a positive impact on the social media network. We need more good news, don't we? Is Jesus good news? Can you make a positive influence for Christ in social media? You certainly can. Make a determination. I've already got one convert. I have to work on the rest of you. Remember, leadership is about influence, and you have influence. Finally, friends, Jesus' model leadership is not only revolutionary, but it's also world-changing. See, Jesus' model of leadership is not about being weak or ineffective. It takes strength and courage to be able to remove what you think is your area of security in order to serve. It takes strength and courage to be spat upon and whipped and scourged and hung upon a cross. It takes courage to die for humanity. The servant lifestyle is actually one of strength and courage. We live for others and for God's glory. Jesus says this. Are you ready? Verse 43. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great, come on, great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Now you see, we like that word. We like the word great, and we like the word first, but we never link great with servant, and we never link first with slave. But actually, the road to being great is the road of service. The road of being a servant. If you are overserved, here's the thing. Sometimes we can serve so much we never learn to receive. And sometimes we can receive so much we never know how to give. We need to find that balance. There are multiple people in this congregation and in this fellowship that serve on 4 or 5 different rosters. There are multiple people in this congregation who serve or have yet to find their place of service in the life of the church, not only on Sunday, but maybe in the op shop or in one of the midweek ministries. I would heartily encourage you, find your home in the home of service. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be putting out on the tables out there all the different areas and opportunities for mission and ministry in the life of the church. We want you to sign up. We want you to find your home of service. Service is about changing the world. Do you know one person matters to God, and that's why we serve them? Let me give you an example of how important one person is. Ian and Suzanne Buswell have just recently become grandparents. They're absolutely lovely grandparents, and they have a grandchild called Toby. Now, to be honest, Toby is just a baby. He looks like any other baby in the world, but not to them. I have never seen so many photographs of a baby or videos in my life. It is, have you seen him now? Oh, yes, but that was a day ago. Look, he's smiling now. Look, this is him burping. All sorts of things like that. Now, why is that important to them? Because they're overfilled with love for the one. The one is important because it's become part of the family. And if Ian and Suzanne are the most amazing grandparents in the world, and they love and love and love, it's nothing in comparison to the love that God has for you. He loves you so much that He wants you to learn to be like Him, to live like Him, to learn to serve like Him. Jesus is in the business of growing leaders. The model of leadership is servant leadership. Now, don't go fighting over the vacuum cleaner when we finish this talk. But find your home. Find your home. And maybe make space. And here's the next thing. We're going to talk about this in the weeks to come. Don't just hog your place of service to yourself, but bring someone else in and teach them to do what you're doing. Make yourself replaceable. Replicate your service to the Lord. Friends, let's learn to live a life of influence. a positive life for Jesus, learning to lead for his kingdom. Shall we pray? Let's stand, shall we? I think the Spirit of the Lord's here. Well, he is here. And he's here to transform us. And I think he wants to do a number of things. First of all he wants is you. That's all he wants. He doesn't want your ability, he just wants you. He doesn't want your ability, he wants your availability. Yeah? So why don't we make ourselves available to Jesus? Could we do that? Here's a way that we could do this. How about disengage your hands from your pockets and just like offer yourselves to God. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm available for you. We're just going to invite the Spirit of God to come now and just to take that offering and to speak to you. Jesus, come. Lord, we offer ourselves, all that we have and are, to serve you, the servant of all. Help us, Lord, to find our place in your church and in your world. Lord, may we serve the many and see the many come to faith.